You are listening to the One Desire Church podcast, a culture of faith, hope, and love.
What I do, but what Christ has done. What I do doesn't determine who I am. I follow Christ. Christ determines what I do. Very good. And there's those moments when we step into a space and we are called. We're called to live out our truest, our most deep and authentic self, that work of Christ inside of me that God is doing. Sometimes I question that. Have you ever made a mistake and been like, oh, I am such a fill in the blank? There's those moments that we can so easily speak a lie that is not the truth about God's work, His kingdom inside of us. We look at ourselves from what we do, what we say, how we interact with those around us in our world, and we live below the reality that God has called us and is at work in us doing. And so this identity statement is just simply a reminder for each of us not to fall below the way that God sees us, but to continue to rise up and to say yes to the identity that we have within Christ, and that Christ is working within each of us. This morning, I want to talk just a little bit about those moments in our lives when we might be tempted to live below the reality of who we are in our lives. Have you ever had somebody look at you and say, you can do better. I know you can. Have you ever had somebody say that to you? A parent, a mom or a dad, you can do better. They see that there is something inside of you that is waiting to be birthed, waiting to come forth, waiting to come into a place of living, breathing reality. And that's ultimately what God did in sending Christ, sending Jesus to the earth. God said, there's a lot of trouble on the inside of women and men in our lives, in our world. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to send Christ into the world in flesh and blood and demonstrate the fullness of what it means to agree with that work of Christ in our hearts. Jesus lived out that connection, that communion, that knowing of the Heavenly Father every day of His life here on this earth. And there's those moments where we have to be reminded that Emmanuel, God with us, is set a path for us to follow, who we are, how we live our lives. One of those ways is the way we communicate. Have you ever had a moment of having to make a response? Have you ever had someone ask you a question and it was a yes or no answer? So as a kid growing up, I had those yes and no moments where my mom or my dad was asking for a very simple and precise question, and it required just a simple yes or no. But if I knew that I had done something wrong and I was going to get in trouble, what would I do? I would try to avoid the yes or the no at all cost, because I didn't want to lie, right? But I also didn't want to sometimes tell the truth. Do you ever have trouble telling the truth, especially if you did something that you weren't supposed to do? Sometimes we all, whether we're this tall or we're this tall, we have those moments that we've done something, maybe we didn't think about it, and all of a sudden we're caught with our hand in the cookie dish, and mom or dad says, did you take a cookie? Are you going to take a cookie? And in that moment, I don't smile and shake my head. I say, well, my brother or sister got one. What did I do? I just deflected their attention. I'm trying to not say, yes, I did take a cookie. I'm trying to direct their attention to others took a cookie as well, and so I don't have to take responsibility. I was about 11 years old, and this is at my grandparents' home in Dayton, Ohio, right outside of Dayton, Ohio. And they lived on a lake. And at that lake, my grandparents, Grandpa and Grandma Bowman, my mom's parents, would have these big family get-togethers, and we would have so much fun during the spring and the summertime, because as kids, we would dig in the sand, making sand castles. And this is one of our creations. Here I am, right here, with the life jacket on. My brother Jonathan, I think this is one of my cousins, Zachary. What we had done is we had taken the sand and made these channels through the sand and kind of piled it up. And then you see my brother Jonathan here, 2 years younger than I am, his back, he's holding a bucket. So after we would make these elaborate kind of sluices, channels in the sand, we would fill up this big pool. We would make a pool of sand, a little pool. And once it was full, what we would do is we would open up one side of it, and all of this water would rush down and come down into the lake. And it was so much fun. We would literally, like brothers and cousins and I, we would spend hours and hours working on it. Here's another picture from another angle. My beautiful physique there. So here's the pool that we made, and we had just opened it up right here. It's my little sister, Sarah, and that is Kevin, number three in the lineup. So the water is starting to rush down, and we would have so much fun. One of the problems with having fun taking a project on that took so much time was that there were a lot of little fingers that wanted to help. Sometimes those little fingers weren't so helpful. One of the little fingers that would help was my sister, Sarah. And Sarah is always ready to help and ready to be there. And you know what she would do sometimes? As we were trying to build up the walls, getting ready for all this water to come down, she would come over with her shovel of sand and would go to put the sand. But instead of putting it on top of the walls, you put it in where the channel is, where the water's supposed to go. And that was pretty frustrating. So we'd yell at her, "No, Sarah, that's wrong." And then sometimes she would miss the fact that there were other walls that we had built over here. And so you know what little brothers and little sisters do? Sometimes they stomp and step, and she would knock over the walls. And that's kind of frustrating. Have you ever been frustrated for somebody messing with your stuff? Yep, that didn't have permission or didn't know what they were doing. Well, I got to a point where I was so frustrated that I took some sand in my hand and she wouldn't listen. And so what did I do? I threw some sand at her. That's no. We're not supposed to throw sand because that's dangerous. What could sand do? Get into your eyes. Okay, so I'm not endorsing sand throwing this morning, just so that that's been said. Well, Sarah was upset and started crying and screaming because I had thrown sand at her, and my dad calls me over and said, "Did you throw sand at your sister?" Now in that moment, I have a choice. Am I going to tell the truth or am I going to lie? Well, Sarah stepped on our sand project. Sarah knocked things over. Sarah, da 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 da. I didn't want to be honest because I knew that I was going to get in trouble. There's those moments in our lives when we realize I've done something wrong, or I get caught and I have a decision to make. Am I going to say yes, or am I going to say no? Am I going to be honest when I make a mistake, or am I going to do everything I can to redirect the attention and focus everywhere but right here in the actions that I have committed? Jesus uses some very important words for us. Matthew chapter 5, if you have your scriptures with you, you can follow along. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes this statement. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. Read this with me. "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.' But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters here this morning. And we acknowledge that you are at work in us and that that project, that work is challenging sometimes. Thank you that you invite us to participate. And so we ask that you would show us what it means to use all of our willpower, all of our strength, all of our might to agree with your love that is at work in our hearts. Show us what it means to be true in our words. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. A social psychologist did a study a few years back, and they came to a place of saying that there were people who were awake to their conscience, and there were people who were not awake to their conscience. They took a group of high school students, and what they did was they had a cornhole game. Y'all know what that is? It's a big board that has a holes in it, and you throw with beanbags and try to get in it. Well, each of these high school students, they were going to give a particular amount of money for the amount of points that they got. And the most amount of points that someone could get would be 15 points, adding up if someone got the highest score over and over again there with the cornhole game. Well, what was interesting was some of those high school students, when they were asked, how many points did you get? They didn't say we got 15, which was the highest possible score with the bing bags that they had. They said they had 18 or 20 points, which that meant that they got $18 or $20. And these researchers went ahead and they gave them the money, even though they couldn't have possibly gotten that score. Some were a little more honest and truthful. Some, as they threw the cornhole, the beanbag into the cornhole game, the beanbag stuck at the top, and when no one was looking, when they thought no one was looking, they just kind of tapped it into the hole. What would we call that? Cheating, exactly. They were cheating. They were being dishonest. Well, then what they did was they took a second group of high school students, and the second group of high school students, before they told them how to play the game and the way that they had an opportunity to get some money from playing this game, they had each of them sign a little piece of paper. And that piece of paper, they had to put their name at the top, and it said, I, Ryan, will be honest with my score. I will not cheat. And then they had to sign their name at the bottom. What was beautiful was one of the first young men to play, he was on the high school basketball team. And he got up there. He missed over 50% of his tries to get it in. It was kind of embarrassing. Out of possible 15, he only got about 7 in. Yet here is someone who has a position of status within the school. He's popular, he has it all together. And yet, when it came time for him to go to the judge at the table who was gonna give him his money, he was truthful and honest. Actually, each of the kids, the high school students who wrote their name on that piece of paper and then signed it and said, I will be truthful, I will not cheat. Each of them were honest, faithful and true. And the researcher said that there was a difference between those who are asleep to their conscience and those who are not asleep. Have you ever found that you were awake to something on the inside that was guiding you or directing you? There's those moments in our lives when we wake up, God's still small voice. Hey, I'm here. I love you. I'm with you. I never leave you or forsake you. See, God knows in each of our hearts that sometimes we need those reminders when we have temptation to be less than truthful with those around us in our life. The scripture that Jesus gives us in Matthew chapter 5 is an important reminder for each of us to stop and to let our yes be yes and our no be no. Not to try to divert or get the attention off of me, but to say, I will be specific and I will be truthful with my words. I don't necessarily want a show of hands, but just stop for a moment. When I say don't show your hands, I feel like I need to sit on my hands because I'm that person. Power of suggestion. Don't raise your hand. I want to raise my hand right away. Think about just for a moment that time, maybe even recently, when it wasn't fully truthful in the way that you responded. Have you ever here recently not told a full truth? Sometimes we can reason those out and we can say, well, it's just a white lie, or it's just a little bit inaccurate. But what Jesus is calling us to is the simplicity of not having all of this baggage of the lies holding on to us and dragging us away from what God has called each of us to in our lives.
Lying is a natural human trait. It lets you manipulate the way you want others to see you. There are certain signs you can look for if you think someone might be lying to you. Eye movement. When right-handed people are lying, they look up at the right. Left-handed people look up to the left. Other signs of lying are, if they don't blink, close their eyes very slowly, or contrastingly blink a lot, or break eye contact. Hiding body parts. They hide their mouth, eyes, or throat with their hands. Grooming. They may also adjust their hair or clothes. Hand movement. Anxiety can cause itching or chilliness in the face, causing the liar to bite or lick their lips or play with their ears. Head movement. They move their head around quickly before they answer a question. Audible cues. They clear their throat or swallow before answering a question. And their vocal pitch rises.
Yeah. No.
Can you tell who's lying?
My cousin, I was going to a party and I did not want him to come with me. So I told him I was just going to a friend's house.
Probably this morning when somebody cut me off and I yelled at him.
Told my coworker today that his breath smelled bad.
So, are you good at spotting liars?
Read this quote with me. Honesty is more than not lying. It is truth telling, truth speaking, truth living, and truth loving. Where are we this morning on the scale of truth? The last thing I want us to do is to leave this time and this space with a focus on, I'm going to catch all of those people in my life who are lying to me. Or on the reverse side, I need to be careful where I look and what I do with my hands when I'm with people and how I structure my sentences, and I don't want people to think I'm lying. The purpose of this time in this space is for each of us to pause and to have a little tune-up. My words, do they mean yes or do they mean no? And do I keep things that simple? This quote goes right along with what Jesus' teachings are and how the scriptures flush out the importance of us to be authentic and genuine in our lives. Honesty is more than not lying. It is truth telling, truth speaking, truth loving, and truth living and truth loving. One of my favorite characters in the scriptures when it comes to truth telling is someone who was very bold, very brash, very loud, very powerful. When this person walked into the room, everybody knew who they were and what they were all about. And that was the Apostle Paul. Before he became Paul, he was Saul. And all those people in his life knew what his truth was. His truth was that God is right, the Torah is right, and anyone who is in competition with God, Yahweh, or the Torah, the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, they are wrong. Paul was passionate about being right. He was willing to defend in word and also in deed the truth that he had held on to since he was a young boy. And yet there came a moment in his life when he realized that what he thought was truth was not truth, that there was a greater truth for him to embrace and to allow to come into his heart and change him forever. Y'all may remember the story as Saul goes to round up the Christians, these people who are talking about Jesus, who are making light and putting down the reality of God's law and the rules that are there. They're talking about love, and they're talking about hope, they're talking about faith that's inside of them, they're talking about grace. And Paul said, oh, there is nothing outside of following all the rules and doing the right thing. God works in Saul's heart and his life, takes him to a place where he's blinded and he can no longer physically see to do what he thought was right in his life. Sometimes there's those moments where we have to experience some blindness in our lives, maybe physical blindness, where I can no longer see what I thought I could see to do what I thought I was supposed to do. What God was doing is God was taking a truth that Saul had held on to and lived out, taking many Christians to the jail, to the cross, other crosses, took Saul to a place where his truth was changed, transformed. His yes and his no switched as the followers of Jesus opened up their hearts to him and prayed for then becoming Paul. And Paul saw that there was a truth that was outside of the truth and above the truth that he had held on to. And he was changed forever in his heart. He went from telling a truth that was not giving life and not giving love to telling a truth that only was about the truth of God's life inside of him and the love of God that was inside of him and that he wanted to share with all those around him. He fleshes this out in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6. He had been asleep to the truth of who God is and what God was doing in his life. Love, read this with me, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. We're called to say yes to Christ's love in our heart. And that love, as it is planted and as it grows, flourishes as we allow God's Spirit to nourish us on the inside. That love causes us to live in a particular way. The way that we rejoice in saying yes or no. The way we say, I am going to be honest I am going to side with truth, because love always sides with truth. Jesus' words are very simple and straightforward. He says in verse 37, let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from what? Evil. The Apostle Paul got this change in his life of, I am going to be true and faithful to the words that God has called me to speak, but also to live out in my life. And I'm going to be honest and true because I am no longer coming from evil, but I am coming from love. Why? Because love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices in the truth. Sometimes it's hard to rejoice in the truth when it means that I'm in trouble. Have you ever had to be honest and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I made a mistake? Yeah. Have you ever had to say, will you forgive me? I have. There's those moments and those times in our lives when we are confronted with, am I going to say yes to the work of God's love in my life, or am I going to say no and lie? It could be as simple as maybe adding extra 15 minutes to my time card. It could be maybe I'm not as truthful to my spouse as I should be. Maybe there is something that I promised someone that I was going to take care of, and then I start making excuses for it. My yes becomes less of a yes, and my no becomes less than a no. God's love at work. And Saul turned him into Paul, and he became awake through that presence of God in his life. If we go back to the book of Genesis, we read that there was a beautiful garden with all kinds of animals and trees. It was a beautiful place that God placed Adam and Eve to live and to love. But at the center of the garden, there were two trees. There was a tree of knowledge of good and evil, and there was the tree of life. And for Adam and Eve, there was a test for them to either trust God's love in their heart or to reject God's love in their lives. Anything in our lives, just like in Adam and Eve's life, that takes us outside of love, outside of that trust that God is able to see and to know what is best for me, and I am going to agree with love and follow after love, it is agreeing with evil. And it's coming from evil, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 on the Sermon on the Mount. The temptation that we read the snake, the serpent, the deceiver, the evil one gives to Adam and Eve is, does God really have your best interest at heart? Can you really trust that God's yes is yes and that God's no is no? Adam and Eve looked at, well, one tree looks really good, and we've maybe eaten from the tree of life, and that tastes pretty good too, but we really can't trust God's yes to be yes and God's no to be no. And so in that moment, they went outside of God's loving no and outside of God's protective yes for them. And they embraced something that was going to hurt them deep down inside. Because they went from walking with God in the cool of the day, that was their practice every day, to when they hear God coming, they hide, they run, they don't want to be found. Why? Because they've entered into a new place that's outside of love, the love that God had for them. This morning I want to take just a few moments and ask a question. The question is, what word or phrase stands out to you this morning? Is there something that the God's Spirit is speaking to you on? And it could have come from an idea or a scripture or something that just popped into your mind or that's moving around in your heart this morning. Maybe it's something I said or that Theodosia said or that somebody else said or shared. What I want to do is I want to give each of us an opportunity to listen to God's Spirit this morning and to hear, God, what are you saying to me? Maybe it's about my yes or my no. Maybe it's about I need to make something right that is wrong from the past. Maybe it's I need to be a little more specific and honest and truthful in this area in my life. Or it could be something totally different. And I give God's Spirit freedom to move in each of our hearts this morning. So come back to that word or that phrase, being present to its impact and its invitation. We're going to take just 2 minutes to just listen to God's Spirit. I invite you to close your eyes, take a deep breath, find a position that's comfortable for you this morning. Just listen to what God's Spirit has to say to you today. Creator God, we thank you that you have created each of us to receive your love in our hearts and to live from that love. Thank you for each of my friends here this morning. We welcome that love to continue to work. Thank you for speaking to us. If we didn't get something specific this morning, show us to continue to wait, what it means to wait on you. Day and night. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing. Show us what it means to respond to that love with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the One Desire Church podcast. For information on gathering times and how you can support the podcast, please visit onedesirechurch.org.